Here's the thing nobody in your lending stack is saying out loud right now. The borrower profile you underwrote 6 months ago no longer exists. The employment baseline you modeled against? Gone. And if you haven't stress tested your book against a 5% plus unemployment scenario, you are already behind. We're going to fix that today, and I'm going to show you a $12 billion GTM playbook you can steal for whatever fintech vertical you're building in. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, and this is where independent fintech founders get the intel the big shops bury in 100-page decks. Let's get into it. Okay, let's start with the macro signal that should be sitting at the top of every founder's dashboard right now. The U.S. labor market has shed a net negative 19,000 jobs cumulatively from May 2025 through February 2026. Let that land for a second. Not slowing job growth, net negative. February's unemployment rate came in at 4.4%, which is among the highest readings we've seen in recent years. Healthcare alone shed 28,000 jobs in a single month. And December 2025, which we all thought was okay, got revised down to just 7,000 net jobs. Now, here's why this matters to you specifically as a fintech operator. If you are running a consumer lending product, a BNPL book, or any credit product underwritten against what I'd call an employment stable baseline, meaning you assumed borrowers would stay employed at the rates we saw in 2023 and early 2024, that baseline is actively eroding right now. The cohorts you originated in Q3 and Q4 of 2025 deserve particular scrutiny because those borrowers entered your book right as this cumulative job loss picture was building. Now, I'll give you one narrow buffer here. Wage growth is running at 3.8% against 2.4% inflation. That's a real income gain, but only for the employed cohort. The expanding unemployed population gets none of that buffer. And on top of that, tariffs on Mexico and Brazil have raised U.S. household costs by an estimated 2-3%. That directly compresses discretionary spending and drives up revolving credit utilization, which is one of the clearest leading indicators for charge-off increases we have. So here's the quick action. Stress test your consumer credit book against a 5+% unemployment scenario before this becomes reactive. If your CAC model assumes steady employed borrowers, rebuild that assumption today. This is a proactive move that costs you an afternoon. Ignoring it could cost you a portfolio. All right, let's shift to something that I think is one of the cleanest GTM case studies I've seen in fintech in the last few years. Bitcoin IRA just hit $12 billion in assets under management. 65% of that is concentrated in Bitcoin, so roughly $7.8 billion, spread across 85 crypto assets, founded in 2016. And what I want you to understand is that this is not primarily a crypto story. This is a tax efficiency distribution story, and the playbook is completely transferable. Here's the core thesis they're operating on. 50% of Americans are not participating in any 401k or IRA vehicle. None. Zero retirement account. And a survey of roughly 22,000 Americans found that the perceived amount needed for retirement tripled from $550,000 to $1.8 million in a very short window. That's a massive anxiety gap, and Bitcoin IRA is parking their product right in the middle of it. But the real acquisition engine, the thing I really want you to hear, is the tax event trigger. Think about this scenario. You hold self-custody Bitcoin, you've got a $200,000 gain, and you're in California. Your combined federal and state marginal rate could hit 53%. That is not a product pitch moment. That is a tax emergency. And Bitcoin IRA's pitch is essentially, we can convert that liability into a deferred or eliminated tax event through the IRA wrapper. That's not selling a financial product. That's solving an acute pain point at exactly the moment the pain is highest. Building on that, they've created a regulatory moat through a Nevada-chartered trust custodian and BitGo qualified custody infrastructure. Assets are OTC settled and cold stored, never touching exchange-level hot wallets. That's a structural switching cost that differentiates them from just buying a Bitcoin ETF at Fidelity. And here's the LTV move that I think is genuinely brilliant. The inherited IRA feature transfers the tax-advantaged wrapper to heirs, so a single account relationship becomes a multi-generational AUM compounding structure. That is a materially superior lifetime value profile compared to any trading-focused crypto platform where your customer value is capped by how long that individual actively trades. The strategic implication for you as a founder, if you are operating anywhere at the intersection of crypto, tax, or retirement, build a state-specific tax event calculator as your top-of-funnel lead capture tool. The ROI of your product becomes immediately legible at the exact moment someone has a taxable event. That's the highest conversion acquisition mechanic in this vertical, full stop.
Now, let's talk about the AI cost structure conversation, because I want to be very direct with you here. This is not a future competitive risk. This is a present margin gap that is widening every quarter. Firms deploying AI across compliance review, fraud detection, and customer support are compressing their cost per account right now relative to shops running fully manual processes. That gap compounds. But I want to flag a compliance caveat that a lot of the AI productivity conversation glosses over. The OCC, the CFPB, and FinCEN have not established clear auditability standards for AI-assisted compliance outputs. So if you are replacing human BSA and AML reviewers with AI tooling to cut costs, which may be the right move, you need to ensure every model output is auditable and defensible to examiners. The efficiency game is real, but an examination liability that exceeds your cost savings is also real. Build the audit trail before you need it. And here's a related organizational risk worth naming. When your sales incentive structure rewards volume over customer protection, you have already created the conditions for systemic compliance failure. Wells Fargo opened millions of fraudulent accounts not because of a few bad actors, but because the situation itself was a bad apple factory. If you are scaling a growth team right now, audit your incentive structure. Make sure you are not accidentally building the same machine. Quick hit on the rate environment before we wrap. One analyst is making the case that the Fed funds rate is sitting approximately 100 basis points above where underlying economic fundamentals actually warrant, given the cumulative job loss picture and rising unemployment. The Fed cut 3 times entering end of 2025 before holding at the most recent meeting. For fintech lenders running warehouse lines or balance sheet lending products, 100 basis points of eventual cuts would generate immediate net interest margin expansion, but only if you have variable rate funded structures. Fixed rate funding will lag that expansion.
Build your rate scenario models now. When the Fed moves, you want to deploy capital and adjust pricing in days, not weeks. Also worth noting, the VIX has moved from an average of 14 up to 18 over the past year. That rising uncertainty premium is moderately compressing fintech valuations in the current fundraising environment. Price your round accordingly. One bonus flag for anyone building in commodity collateral lending or emerging market digital assets: India's SCBI just approved silver as eligible collateral for bank loans, effective April 1, 2026. They're mandating that 30% of an estimated $365 billion in reserve backing be held in silver and gold. That is a brand new addressable market, with a defined regulatory permission structure and very limited incumbent expertise. If this is adjacent to what you're building, the timing advantage window is open right now, but it will not stay open long. All right, your quick win before close of business today. Pull your Q3 and Q4 2025 originated consumer credit cohorts and run a quick charge-off sensitivity analysis at 5% unemployment. If your current underwriting model doesn't have a stress scenario that goes that high, build one this afternoon using your actual cohort vintage data. You don't need a perfect model. You need a directional signal so you know where your exposure concentrates. That's it. One analysis today. Get after it. We'll talk tomorrow.